Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 10, which has 42 verses, is entitled The Opulence of the Absolute. In verses 1 through 7, Krishna will explain knowledge that is better than what he has explained previously. Let us listen. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Listen again, O mighty-armed Arjuna, because you are my dear friend, for your benefit I shall speak to you further, giving knowledge that is better than what I have already explained. Neither the hosts of demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulences, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and sages." So this is important, that Krishna's existence is before and prior to the existence of the material world. The material world goes through phases of creation, maintenance, and dissolution. And that includes the demigods and the sages. So while all this is going on, Krishna is still existing in his realm. He continues, "One who knows me as the unborn, as the beginningless, as the supreme lord of all the worlds, that person only, who is undiluted among everyone, is freed from all sins." So we have heard this before, that one who knows Krishna as God, that person is the self-realized person, and that is the person who is in real knowledge. Simply accepting Krishna as the Supreme Lord, as the God of all gods, that person is accepted by Krishna as the knower of everything. And we will see this repeated throughout Bhagavad Gita, especially in chapter 15. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, nonviolence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, and infamy. All these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. So this has been a recurrent theme of Bhagavad Gita, that nothing is separate or independent of Krishna. The definition of Krishna as the absolute truth is that everything comes from him, whether it be spiritual or material. He said this in chapter 7. The definition of the absolute truth is that from which everything is coming. That is how we should understand who is Krishna, the source of everything. The seven great sages such as Atri, Kratu, Pulastya, Gautam, Marichi, Vashishta, and Bhrigu Muni, and before them the four other great sages Sanaka, Sanatan, Sananda, and Sunat Kumar, and the Manus, who are the progenitors of mankind, come from me, born from my mind. And all living beings populating the various planets descend from them. This will also come up in chapter 14, when Krishna will explain that he is the seed-giving father of all living entities. So here we see in Bhagavad Gita the concept of God as the Father, which is common to almost every religion, is also explained here in Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna, or God, is the Father of all species of life. Krishna continues, "One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt." Now this is very significant. Because if you truly understand this Bhagavad Gita, there can only be one resolute conclusion, that one should surrender and engage eternally in Krishna's service. If one reads Bhagavad Gita and understands it, how can then one refuse to surrender and serve Krishna? So the real proof of one who has understood Bhagavad Gita is that one is engaged eternally in Krishna's service. Now we come to one of the most essential parts of Bhagavad Gita. Verses 8 through 11 are the four nutshell or seed verses of the Bhagavad Gita. So therefore I urge you to please follow along very carefully. These four verses are the foundation of the entire Bhagavad Gita. Krishna now says, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So here is the definition of the Absolute Truth. The wise, who perfectly know this, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So this is what I said just previously. The proof that one understands Bhagavad Gita is that one surrenders and one engages in Krishna's service. And Krishna said that the wise do this. Yes, this is the mark of intelligence, that one surrenders to Krishna. And notice he said, with all their hearts. That is also a symptom of a surrendered soul. There are no reservations. One is completely, fully surrendered. Now the second of the four nutshell verses. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to me and my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So here is the proof that the pure devotee actually loves God. Because when you're in love with someone, you cannot help but talk and think and become fully absorbed in that person. So the pure devotee of Krishna, his whole life or her whole life is completely consumed in thought, word, action, deed. Everything is in relationship to Krishna, but it is based on love. It's not forced. It comes spontaneously out of love. And naturally, when you love someone, you want to tell others about your love. Therefore, the pure devotee of Krishna at every opportunity wants to talk and speak about their beloved Lord Sri Krishna. Now the third. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So here we see a further explanation of what Krishna said in chapter 4. At that time, Krishna said that as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Krishna, at any time, never interferes with our free will or minute independence. As we approach Krishna, as we surrender, then Krishna reciprocates accordingly. So here we see that as I or you or anyone tries to surrender to Krishna and tries to develop this pure devotion to Him, Krishna will give the knowledge, Krishna will give the understanding from within how to come to Him sooner and more firmly and more with conviction. And how does Krishna do that? He explains that in the last of the four nutshell verses. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So here is how Krishna helps us. He's already in our hearts That is known as Paramatma, the Super Soul. And we will learn more about Super Soul in chapter 13, that he is the overseer, the permitter, the sanctioner. So Krishna is in our hearts, and when he sees that we have some inclination to come to him, when he sees that we have some interest in coming to him, then Krishna within our hearts, he causes us to remember him. He causes us to forget our material distractions or material desires. And he helps us to remember him. And he gives us the knowledge by which we can return to him once and for all. So these four verses of Bhagavad Gita are so important. And the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is to return to Krishna. And here we see, Krishna will help us. As the expression goes, God helps those who help themselves. So if you want to help yourself, if you want to return to Krishna, if you are convinced by hearing this Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is the supreme goal of your life, then simply you need to hear and chant about Krishna as much as possible. So daily we should be hearing and studying Bhagavad Gita, and with every breath, every step we take, we should utter Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the next section, verses 12 through 18, Arjuna requests Krishna to see his opulences because he accepts Krishna as God. Arjuna said, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, and the greatest." So here is Arjuna's conclusive statements. What more can he say about Krishna? Arjuna has said it all. Krishna is the last word in the absolute truth. Krishna is the God of all other gods. Arjuna continues. All the great sages, such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas, confirm this truth about you. And now you yourself are declaring it to me. So Arjuna's conclusion, or you could say his realization, he's not alone. He has cited very notable authorities or acharyas. And most significant, Vyas and Narada, these two are such great personalities. Not only is Arjuna fixed on this understanding, but these great personalities whose transcendental feats are beyond compare, they also, like Arjuna, accept Krishna as the absolute truth. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. Yes, Krishna can only be understood by surrender and devotion, not by any material acquisition or not by any material advancement or facility. No, Krishna can only be understood by our simple surrender, service, love, and devotion. And this is something that is repeated throughout Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna is in total agreement. He totally accepts Krishna, and if we are intelligent, we will also follow in the footsteps of Arjuna and also totally accept everything that Krishna is saying. Arjuna continues, "Indeed, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency. O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe, So here we see Arjuna is continuing to stress the point of Krishna's ultimate supreme position, his superior position within the entirety of all that being. There is nothing beyond Krishna. There's nothing equal to Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna. Please tell me in detail of your divine opulences by which you pervade all these worlds. O Krishna, O Supreme Mystic, how shall I constantly think of you? And how shall I know you? In what various forms are you to be remembered, O Supreme Personality of Godhead? So here is Arjuna's inquiry. He continues, O Janardhan, again, please describe in detail the mystic power of your opulences. I am never satiated in hearing about you, for the more I hear, the more I want to, and I want to taste the nectar of your words. So Arjuna has heard in Bhagavad Gita previously, in such chapters as 7 and 9, some of Krishna's vibhutis, or opulences, within this material world. Now he wants to know further in detail these vibhutis. And very significant here, Arjuna has said that the more I hear, the more I want to hear. This is the nature of transcendental sound vibration. This is the nature of studying transcendental literature. It is not like material books of knowledge. The way it works is, because it is spiritual, it is increasing at every moment. It does not become stale or hackneyed. For instance, I have been studying Bhagavad Gita every day since 1973. And still, the Bhagavad Gita is fresh and new to me. Every day, I have, since 1973, every day, I chant on my beads, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Every day, for the past 30 years, I have chanted this mantra for hours on end. But it has not become stale. It has not become hackneyed. It is always increasing. So this is the nature of spiritual life. It is always increasing, and your realizations will always be fresh and new. So this is Arjuna's realization also. And he wants to hear more and more about Krishna. And so similarly, this Bhagavad Gita DVD, you will go back to it and you will play it and listen over and over again, because it actually is transcendental spiritual vibration. In the next section, verses 19 through 39, Krishna will give a summary of 81 Vibhuti Yogas, or specific opulences by which he has placed his special potency in terms of this material world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Yes, I will tell you of my splendorous manifestations, but only those which are prominent, O Arjuna, for my opulence is limitless. Just see the position of Krishna. He's only going to speak a mere fraction, because actually, as soon as Krishna sits down to think about his existence, and if he counts all of his qualities and potencies, after that is done, immediately he has expanded and there's more to count. So there's no end to Krishna's opulences. This is why Krishna is the absolute truth. Here he begins. I am the Supersoul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. of the 12 Adityas, I am Vishnu. And this particular Vishnu was known as Vamana or Trivikram, Upendra, who appeared in order to cheat Bali Maharaj and act on behalf of the demigods. And Bali Maharaj surrendered the universe and even his own head. You can read more about Upendra or Vamanadeva in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Of lights, I am the radiant sun. Yes, there is an expansion of Krishna in the sun planet known as Surya Narayan. Of the Maruts, I am Marichi. And among stars, I am the moon. That's also, for some people, is controversial. But Krishna has declared, of stars, I am the moon. And those who follow Bhagavad Gita accept that vision of Krishna. Of the Vedas, I am the Sama Veda. Of demigods, I am Indra, the king of heaven. Of the senses, I am the mind. And we learned in chapter 6 that the mind can become your friend, the mind can become your enemy. And Arjuna and Krishna agreed, the mind is obstinate and very strong. So here's why. Because it has been given special potency by Krishna. And in living beings, I am the living force. Of the 11 Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. Of the Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am the Lord of Wealth, Kuvera. Of the Vasus, I am Agni, Fire. And of mountains, I am Meru. Of priests, O Arjuna, know me to be the chief, Brihaspati, because he is the guru or spiritual master for all the demigods. Of generals, I am Kartikeya. So Kartikeya is the son of Lord Shiva and Parvati. He is also known as Skanda because he is a great warrior. And of bodies of water, I am the ocean, because the ocean is the biggest and most significant of all different kinds of bodies of water. Of the great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations, I am the transcendental Om. We have heard this several times, chapter 7, chapter 8. And I have already explained that Om is actually the combination of three sounds, A, U, and Ma. A, referring to Krishna, the letter U, referring to Radharani, the internal pleasure potency, and M stands for the living entities, you and me, combined together. This is the picture of the Absolute Truth. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, known as Japa. And we, in ISKCON, we chant this Maha Mantra on Japa Mala, Tulsi beads, and each bead we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There are 108 beads, and so 108 chantings makes one round, and initiated disciples, they vow to chant 16 of 108 beads on the Hare Krishna mantra. So that's 1,728 Hare Krishna mantras minimum. And of immovable things, I am the Himalayas. Those of you in India, you know the Himalayan mountains. Of all trees, I am the banyan tree. And of the sages in the realm of the demigods, I am Narada. Yes. Narada's life story is depicted in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And his success of self-realization at the age of 5 is most interesting. You would do well to study Srimad Bhagavatam and hear how a 5-year-old boy, Narada, achieved perfection in self-realization at the age of 5. Of Gandharvas, I am Chitrarattha. And among perfected beings, I am the sage Kapila, Kapila is another incarnation of Krishna, and you can read about his teachings and life also in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Kapila is mostly noted in terms of relationships of his mother, so many times he is known as Devahuti Putra Kapila. And there's a large section, many chapters in the third canto, dealing with the appearance of Kapila and most notably his instructions, known as the pure Sankhya philosophy. Of horses, know me to be Uchaishrava, produced during the churning of the ocean of nectar. So that is also described in the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how the demigods and demons conducted a truce for the purpose of churning the ocean of milk in order to get the elixir of immortality. And while they were churning, many things were produced, one of which this special horse, Uchaishrava. Of lordly elephants, I am Airavata. And that is the elephant by which Indra is carried. And among men, I am the monarch. Of weapons, I am the thunderbolt that is also carried by Lord Indra. Among cows, I am the Surabhi. The Surabhi is also known as Kamadhenu. This is a very special transcendental cow, because not only does it give milk, but actually it will give you anything you desire. Of causes for procreation, I am Kandarpa, the god of love. In the West, he is known as Cupid, but actually, he is Kamadev or Kandarpa. Of serpents, I am Vasuki. Of the many hooded Nagas or snakes, I am Ananta. Lord Vishnu, in his three expansions, Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, and Shiradakshayi Vishnu, rests on this serpentine bed, Ananta. And Ananta is another expansion or form of Krishna. And another thing that he does is that since the dawn of creation, he has been chanting the glories of Krishna and has never repeated one glory. And he goes on and on, confirming what Krishna said earlier in this chapter: my opulences are limitless. And Ananta Shesh, he can confirm it. And among aquatics, I am the demigod Varuna. Of departed ancestors, I am Aryama. And among the dispensers of law, I am Yama, the Lord of Death. And yes, except for pure devotees of Krishna, every one of us will have to report to Yamaraj at the time of death, and we will be judged accordingly for all our good and bad activities, our karma. An entire account is there. Yamaraj has a file on each and every one of us, and he knows exactly what we have done, and we will be judged accordingly and then given our next life. Among the Daitya demons, I am the devoted Prahlad. This is found in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are 10 chapters which deal with the life and story of Prahlad as well as his teachings. And among subduers, I am time. This has been repeated and will be repeated throughout Bhagavad Gita. This is another feature of Krishna, the time element. Among beasts, I am the lion. Even in the West, they say the king of the jungle, the lion. And among birds, I am Garuda. Yes, Lord Vishnu is carried on a particular kind of aquiline bird, and he is known as Garuda, and he is most powerful. Of purifiers, I am the wind. And you all know that you wash your clothes, then you put it on the line, and the combination of the sun and the wind dries your clothes and gives it such a fresh fragrance. Of wielders of weapons, I am Ra. He is also described in Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, but those of you from India know very well the epic Ramayana by the sage Valmiki. And we see that Ram was most expert and most victorious when he used his weapon, specifically the bow and arrow, to kill evil Ravana. And of fishes, I am the shark. Of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges. Yes, again, those of you living in India, the Ganges is known for its ability to purify the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul deposits his sinful reactions and becomes purified by the grace of Mother Ganga. Of all creations, I am the beginning and the end, and also the middle, O Arjuna. Of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self. This is significant. Where is to be found this spiritual science of the self? Here in the West, where do you find this spiritual science? Not in Harvard, not in any university, no. The spiritual science of the self is taught in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON temples are the only institutions dedicated to actually teaching people the spiritual science of the self. And this Bhagavad Gita began in chapter 2 with Krishna giving a very quick summary of the science of the self. The difference between matter and spirit, the difference between the body and the soul, and the difference between what is temporary and what is eternal. And this whole Bhagavad Gita is a treatise of the science of the self. And among logicians, I am the conclusive truth. Of letters, I am the letter A in the Sanskrit alphabet. The first letter is the letter A. And among compound words, I am the dual compound. For example, Rama, Krishna. That's an example of a dual compound. I am also inexhaustible time. So yes, again, he's mentioned this time element, which is simply another feature of Krishna. And of creators, I am Brahma. Brahma is the first created being in the universe. Brahma performs severe penances and austerities in terms of devotional service, bhakti yoga, and is congratulated by Lord Narayan and is given the knowledge by which how to engineer the construction of the universe. I am all-devouring death. And the atheist will say, I don't believe in God. But Krishna here is indicating, you didn't accept me while you were alive, but now you will be forced to accept me in my feature known as death. I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Among women, I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. So these are important qualities for a woman to develop. Yes, Bhagavad Gita includes everyone. Everyone is expected to improve their consciousness, and everyone is expected to reach the final stage of coming to Krishna consciousness, love of God. Of the hymns in the Samaveda, I am the Brihatsama. And the poetry, I am the Gayatri. Of months, I am Margashirsha, November, December. And of seasons, I am flower-bearing spring. I am also the gambling of cheats. So here's one reason why in ISKCON, Krishna consciousness, one of the vows we take is no gambling, because gambling is a cheating proposition. And this age, current age of Kali, is known as an age of the cheaters and the cheated. And this we see currently in our world governments, that they too are very expert in cheating the public. So human society presently is simply a society of the cheaters and those who are cheated. So don't be cheated. Study Bhagavad Gita, surrender to Krishna, and don't be cheated by so-called politicians who are actually nothing more than rogues and thieves. A word to the wise should be sufficient. Chant Hare Krishna and don't be cheated. And of the splendid, I am the splendor. I am victory. I am adventure. And I am the strength of the strong. Yes, we see so many people, they're very proud of their physical prowess. But Krishna is reminding us, don't be puffed up with borrowed plumes. That strength comes from Krishna. You're not independent. Only a demoniac person thinks that I am independent of God. Of the descendants of Vrishni, I am Vasudev. So here, Krishna is including himself, because Krishna's father was Vasudev, and therefore Krishna was known as Vasudev. And then he says, and of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. So even Arjuna himself is being noted by Krishna as being something or someone who has been given special powers by Krishna's grace. After all, Krishna is the chariot driver of Arjuna, Partha Sarathi. So Arjuna is certainly very special. Of the sages, I am Vyas. So Vyasadeva is recognized as the author and compiler of all the Vedic library. The four Vedas, the 18 Puranas, 108 Upanishads, the Mahabharata, and the Vedanta Sutra, and then ultimately on the order of his guru, Narada Muni, he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vyasadeva is sometimes known as the literary incarnation of Krishna. He is also known as Bhagavan Rishi, God appearing in the form of a saintly person. But he is the eternal servant of Krishna, empowered by Krishna to do this service of compiling all the Vedic literatures. And if you would like to know more, then I urge you to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, and you can see how Vyasadeva compiled and edited the Vedic knowledge for our benefit, the people of the age of Kali. And among great thinkers, I am Ushana. Ushana is known as Shukracharya, and he was the spiritual master of the demons. So you might be wondering, huh? How can someone be the guru of the demons? Yes, the demons have enough sense to have a Brahmin priest, and therefore anyone who does not have a spiritual master must be less intelligent than a demon. What to speak of devotees? Krishna already explained in chapter 4 that if you want to understand the knowledge of sacrifice, then you should approach a spiritual master. So accepting a spiritual master is so essential for making spiritual advancement. Among all means of suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment. And of those who seek victory, I am morality. Here in the West, we have an expression, with God on our side. So here's the same concept, that one can feel certain of victory if one has the moral or just cause. Of secret things, I am silence. Yes, because nowadays, with the advent of the internet, if you write anything, it will sometimes appear all over the world. So if you want to keep a secret, tell no one. And of the wise, I am wisdom. Furthermore, O Arjuna, I am the generating seed of all existences. There is no being, moving or non-moving, that can exist without me. So this last statement of Krishna is something I've been saying repeatedly throughout these chapters. Nothing is separate or independent of Krishna. You may be an atheist, you may be a theist, you may be a man, you may be a woman, doesn't matter. Each and every one of us, our existence is relative to Krishna. Therefore, we are the relative truths emanating from the absolute truth, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Now, in the final section of this chapter, verses 40 through 42, Krishna gives his own personal commentary on this chapter. O mighty conqueror of enemies, there is no end to my divine manifestations. What I have spoken to you is but a mere indication of my infinite opulences. You should know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring but from a spark of my splendor. So here we see another instance of the superiority from every angle of vision of this person, Krishna. Yes, whatever you see in the world, whatever you experience, may it be opulent or beautiful or glorious, now you can think, oh yes, it may be wonderful, but it's coming from my Supreme Lord, Krishna. And thus, for a pure devotee, there is never a question of illusion, because the pure devotee always thinks, oh, this is very nice, but it is coming from Krishna. I'll give you another example. In recent history, we have the example of a great brain, Einstein. All over the world, people recognize the genius of Einstein, but nobody thought, who is the person that created Einstein? That person was Krishna. So if Einstein was such a great brain, just imagine how great is the person who created Einstein, Lord Sri Krishna. And here we see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna saying, these things are but a spark of his opulence and splendor. A spark. Then he says to Arjuna, but what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? It was Arjuna who wanted the detail. Krishna saying, so what need is there? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So the material world, from Krishna's angle of vision, insignificant. And he can maintain it, create it, and destroy it with simply a mere fragment of himself. What can then we think of Krishna's spiritual abode? The material cosmic manifestation is an insignificant corner of the vast spiritual world. It is just like a clump of dust in the corner of your room. Compared to the room, the corner is such an insignificant part. So Krishna's spiritual abode, Vaikuntha, that is so far beyond anyone's imagination. And Krishna is saying throughout Bhagavad Gita that if you love him, if you surrender to him, and you engage constantly in his service by hearing and chanting, then you can join him in his abode. So hopefully, by hearing this Bhagavad Gita, you will want to come back to Krishna. You will want to join Krishna. And therefore, the conclusion should be, let me immediately surrender to Krishna by chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.